Greetings, and welcome to the AeroTech Corporation third quarter 2018 earnings results conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. A brief question and answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Yaakov Haroz, General Counsel. Thank you, Mr. Haroz. You may begin.
Thank you, Jerry. I would like to welcome everyone to AeroTech's third quarter 2018 earnings call. Hosting the call today are Dean Crutty, our Chief Executive Officer, and Kelly Keller, our Chief Financial Officer. Before I turn the call over to Dean and Kelly, I'd like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions, and there can be no assurance that they will in fact occur. AeroTech does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing market trends, reduced demand, and the competitive nature of AeroTech's industry, as well as other risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In addition, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed during this call. These non-GAAP measures are used by management to make strategic decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes the presentation of these non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investors' understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing core operations and prospects for the future. Unless it is otherwise stated, it should be assumed that any financials discussed in this conference call will be provided on a non-GAAP basis. Full reconciliations of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures are included in the earnings release. And with that, I'd like to now introduce AeroTech CEO, Dean Crutty. Dean, the call is yours.
Thank you, Yaakov. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. For the third quarter of 2018, we reported $23.8 million in revenue and $2.4 million in adjusted EBITDA, bringing our year-to-date adjusted EBITDA to $6 million, an increase of 36% over the first 9 months of 2017. Our training and simulation division reported $14.7 million in third quarter revenue, while our power systems division reported $9.1 million of revenue last quarter. Our third quarter 2018 results show continued strength from our simulation division, but our power system division's performance reflects some unexpected market challenges. In September, the U.S. Marine Corps canceled its amphibious assault vehicle survivability upgrade effort with SAIC. The Marine Corps reported that it will focus investment on new vehicles instead of upgrading the legacy AAV. Our U.S. power company in South Carolina, UEC, was performing an electrical upgrade as a subcontractor to SAIC in support of this effort. We are working through a settlement with SAIC and the U.S. Marine Corps for our work to date, and are busy replacing the lost future revenues with new revenue streams. To that end, UEC announced that at the end of August, its place as one of five companies on an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract from the Space and Naval Warfare Center, or SPAWAR. The contract is for cyber mission systems, kitting, and supplies, and carries a $950 million ceiling. SPAWAR expects to procure systems that provide wireless communications, detection, collection, and exploitation of electrical and electronic equipment to support the warfighter. Related services such as sustainment, maintenance, and disposal may also be procured under the scope of this contract. UEC secured its position on the contract vehicle based on our history of successfully performing similar work for SPAWAR over the last decade. The new vehicle is expected to serve SPAWAR for 5 to 7 years. UEC continues to support the U.S. Marines with testing of the hybrid power solution known as MEPS, which we delivered late last year. Our smaller systems, the MEPS Lite, have completed testing, and the Marines are now focusing on testing the larger MEPS medium systems. In the third quarter, we sold a hybrid energy solution similar to MEPS to the U.S. Army. It is scheduled to be delivered in the spring, and the Army will test the system for suitability to their mission with a stated need of 160 units. Our training and simulation division announced in the third quarter that it received Phase 2 funding for its virtual clearance training suites contract with the U.S. Army in the amount of $10.2 million. This is the second of three phases intended by the Army and will be delivered over the next 2 years. The U.S. Marine Corps also exercised nearly $1 million in options in our combat convoy simulator contract announced earlier this year. The increased funding on VCTS and CCS is expected to grow this segment of our training and simulation division in 2019. Also within this division, we announced this quarter two U.S. Air Force purchases of our Milo use of force training solutions. Significant awards from the Air Force Global Strike Command and the Pacific Air Forces, combined with other orders from individual air bases, totaled over $4 million. The Air Force will receive a variety of training solutions, taking advantage of the breadth of offerings from our Milo Range brand to include the fully immersive Milo Range Theater 300. The training systems will be used to train U.S. Air Force security forces around the globe and are scheduled for delivery through the first quarter 2019 with extended product support through 2024. In our commercial driver training group, we received an important order from Georgia Tech, adding that university to the list of research customers who've chosen our simulators as a key element of their automobile research. The third quarter also brought sales of our fire truck simulators and our related pump-op trainer. We recently developed a new version of our pump-ops trainer to service fire teams whose pump equipment is mounted on top of the fire truck, and we are seeing sales of that system on our on-base military firefighting units, as we had anticipated when we invested in the new design. Finally, our air warfare systems group was awarded a contract to include a version of our zone acquisition process and a demonstration program to alert aircrew to the capability of surface-to-air missiles. This is a different application of our technology, which has historically provided aircrew information about their own weapons capability and represents a new area for future expansion. In addition, we were part of a three-company joint venture that secured a place on the TSC-4 contract vehicle out of the Naval Air Warfare Center Training System Division. NOC-TSD serves as the principal source of a broad range of training solutions for the U.S. Navy, and our position on this vehicle will allow us to compete for new naval training systems and for performing upgrades to existing training systems for the next 5 to 9 years. Based on our visibility after three quarters, we have increased our 2018 full-year EBITDA guidance to the range of $7.3 to $7.6 million, while decreasing our revenue guidance to the range of $95 to $100 million. With that, I'd like to now turn the call over to Kelly.
Thank you, Dean. Good morning, and thank you for joining our call today. I will now discuss our third quarter results. Revenues for the third quarter were $23.8 million compared to $25.9 million for the comparable period in 2017. The year-over-year decrease in revenue was primarily due to a decline in the power system division related to the decline in battery orders from the Israeli Ministry of Defense contract that was completed in early 2018, and to a lesser extent, the stop work order issued by the Marines related to the AAV program. The stop work order eventually led to the termination of the AAV contract, as Dean has previously described. Our gross profit for the third quarter was $7.3 million, or 30.7% of revenues, compared to $7.3 million, or 28% of revenues for the prior year period. The year-over-year increase in gross profit percentage was primarily due to program losses that incurred in 2017 in the Power Systems Division and, to a lesser extent, product mix in the Training and Simulation Division for the current period. Operating expenses were $6.2 million in the third quarter of 2018 compared to $6 million for the prior year. We had operating income of $1.1 million for the third quarter of 2018 compared to $1.3 million in the corresponding period 2017. The decrease in operating income for the quarter was primarily associated with higher general and administrative costs in our Training and Simulation Division and corporate, primarily related to personnel costs. Our net income for the third quarter was $741,000, or 3 cents earnings per share for basic and diluted, compared to net income of $788,000, or 3 cents earnings per share for the same period last year. Our adjusted earnings per share, adjusted EPS, for the third quarter of 2018 and 2017 was 6 cents per share. Adjusted earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization, adjusted EBITDA, for the third quarter was approximately $2.4 million compared to $2.3 million for the corresponding period of 2017. We believe that information concerning adjusted EBITDA and adjusted earnings per share enhances overall understanding of our current financial performance. We compute adjusted EBITDA and adjusted earnings per share, which are non-GAAP financial measures, as reflected in the tables of yesterday's press release. Now I will discuss our cash flows from operations. We had net cash provided by operations of $3.4 million for the 9 months ended 2018, compared to $843,000 for the same period in 2017. The increase in cash from operations was primarily attributable to net income in 2018 versus a net loss for the same period in 2017, as well as a significant decrease in severance payments in the current year as compared to 2017. Now, turning to our balance sheet discussion. As of September 30th, 2018, we had $5.2 million in cash and cash equivalents compared to $5.5 million of cash and cash equivalents at the end of the year. As of September 30th, 2018, we had total debt outstanding of $13.9 million, consisting of $4.8 million in short-term bank debt under a credit facility and $9.1 million in long-term debt. This is compared to total debt outstanding of $15.9 million, which consisted of $5.1 million in short-term bank debt under a credit facility and $10.8 million in long-term debt at the end of the year. We had $7.8 million in available unused bank lines of credit with our primary bank as of September 30th, 2018, under our $15 million revolving credit facility and a $10 million term loan and a $3 million mortgage that is secured by assets of our company. Our current ratio, which is current assets divided by current liabilities, is $2.1 million compared with a current ratio of 2.0 as of December 31st, 2017. As of December 31st, 2017, we had net operating loss carryforwards for U.S. federal income tax purposes of $40.7 million, which is available to offset future taxable income, if any, expiring in 2021 through 2032. Utilization of U.S. net operating losses is subject to annual limitations due to provisions of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 and similar state provisions. We accrued non-cash tax expense of $145,000 in the third quarter of 2018, reflecting the uncertainty of the deductibility of intangible expenses for federal income tax purposes. At the end of the third quarter 2018, 2017, and Q4 2017, we had a backlog of $70.7 million, $69.5 million, and $61.1 million, respectively. The company's backlog increased by 1.7% over the same quarter last year and 15.7% over the prior year end. Our simulation division had a backlog of $51.3 million at the end of third quarter 2018, $41.5 million for the same time last year, and $38.8 million at the end of the prior year. Our simulation division backlog increased by 23.6% over the same quarter last year and 32.2% over the prior year end. This is primarily attributable to our VCTS and CCS military vehicle programs. Our power system division had a backlog of $19.4 million at the end of the third quarter 2018, $28 million for the same time last year, and $22.3 million at the prior year end. Our power system division backlog decreased by 30.7% over the same quarter last year and 13% over the prior year. This is primarily attributable to the completion of the IMOD contract in early 2018 and the termination of the AAV program. That concludes our prepared remarks. Before we open the call up for Q&A, I'd like to remind all participants that Dean and I are regularly available to the investment community, and throughout the year, we look to participate in relevant conferences and investor events. Operator, you may now open the call up for questions.
Thank you. We'll now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove yourself from the question queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. We have a question from Mr. Mike Crawford, B. Riley. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Could you help frame the opportunity you've seen for mobile electric power systems with MEPS, MEPS Lite, and related systems for the Marines and the Army, and when these could materialize in meaningful revenue?
Thanks, Mike. As you know, we've been working on MEPS for a couple of years with the Marine Corps. This program dates back actually 5 or 6 years with a smaller system we did called Greens that actually became a program of record in 2014. The Marine Corps is still advertising the schedule for a late 2019 RFP for a production contract that, according to their estimation of need, would be over $80 million of MEPS systems to begin getting fielded in 2020. The Army, with the system that they just purchased, is trying to fill a short-term need, which expects to go on contract next summer for about 160 units.
Okay. And what is the ask you have with SAIC and the Marines for the DPCMS system? And then, I guess, related, what other kind of electrical system upgrade or at least maintenance do you think you might get on that AAV platform before ACVs are fielded in any great number?
So as far as an ask, are you asking about the amount settlement. Of settlement? So we're basically looking to get the cost covered for the work that we've done on that program over the last year. If you look at our balance sheet and notice that our unbilled is up, because we didn't get to deliver those systems, we haven't been able to move that to receivable as of yet. But we certainly expect to get made whole by SAIC for the work that we've done to date. As far as future efforts, we have done some significant work on that platform with DPCMS that still may have legs. We have actually an opportunity in December to meet with the Marine Corps and show off all of the different work we did from an electrical standpoint on the AAV. And it's uncertain at this time whether the Marine Corps will be able to fund upgrades to the AAVs that are now not getting the survivability upgrade from SAIC. So that's something we're watching closely. At the same time, we are selling DPCMS into other vehicle systems, specifically with the U.S. Army, in an effort to continue that technology as a meaningful part of our company work.
Okay, thanks. And then switching gears to the simulation business, is there any update you can share on when we would see a common driver training RFP or potential award?
Mike, that's very hot right now as the RFP has hit the street. Proposals are due in just a couple of days. We've been working very hard this quarter on our response to that request for proposals, and we expect that the award will be late spring probably, according to the Army's current timeline.
Late June?
Spring of
late spring.
19. Yeah.
Okay.
May or June probably. Probably May would be if I had a bet right now. Obviously, we're not in control of that, but that's what they're advertising.
Okay, thanks. And then final question on your judgmental use force business. Are you seeing any changes in margin on those systems delivered given competition?
Not this year, no. We've had some pressure. There are, you know, 5 good competitors in that space. But we've been able to maintain our pricing pretty steady all year.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
We have a question from a private investor, Mr. Jordan Timmons. Mr. Timmons?
Yeah, I was just curious on what contracts you have available this year coming up.
I'm not sure I understand your question, Jordan. You're saying...
Like, do you have any future contracts this year that are coming into play?
Well, I think our press releases have shown that recently we've had a very significant win on a program called Combat Convoy Simulators. That is going to ramp into its biggest piece in 2019. Will certainly help us in 2019. We also had an announcement recently on our funding for our VCTS program, which we're working on now on a first phase, but the second phase, which is bigger, will also cause us to grow in 19 and 20 on that contract.
Right. So do you on the second phase, do you have a timeline on that, when that's supposed to be completed?
Yeah. It'll be executed in both 19 and 20, and in 2020 we also expect a third phase of that contract to kick in, which will cause us to grow further on that contract in 20 and 21.
All right, that's all I had.
Thank you, George.
Gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back over to management. Mr. Yakov? Mr. Haroz?
Thank you, Jerry. This is Dean, but thank everyone for calling in, and we'll talk to you next time.